Yes, put that down, Ronnie. Ronnie has a few more words you'd like to say.
I'd like to say that because I changed the way I eat and I lost weight, I have been off insulin since a year ago, July.
How much weight did you lose altogether?
Well, I was going to say, any sugars under 7 means you're not a diabetic, and mine is 4.8, A1C. And total weight as of Saturday is 214.2.
Wow.
Thank you.
All right, we have our next speaker is Karen, who's had a different variety of surgery done called a lap band. And she handed me a piece of literature from her food rehab about food plans. It says, the food plan begins the process of abstinence by removing all binge and trigger food and by providing balanced, appropriately sized meals and snacks. I couldn't do that on my own. I couldn't do that in a million years. I couldn't be honest with myself to do that. I would tell myself that, but I couldn't do that for half a day. That's why I think it's so important to get honest with somebody about the food. Knowing our binge and trigger foods, for me it was a process of uncovering what they were. And I would buy something and I would have a portion of it on Monday. Tuesday I look forward to having a portion of it. By Wednesday, that's the only reason I was getting out of bed in the morning, because I knew that food was in the house. That's what I call trigger food. Mine would want to. And again, by talking it over with somebody else, not feeling abnormal because of it, I'm much more inclined to want to eliminate these things. One of the people who answered the survey said something about dividing a piece of paper into three columns listing the foods that are definitely problems for you, the foods that might be problems, and all the foods that you can eat. And when you get cranky and food's calling to you, look at the list of things that you can eat. And that basically is a good way to look at our lives, because once we get this food in order, we look at all the positive things in our life every day, not the negative things that are happening. We've learned to look at our life as a life of abundance instead of deprivation. A food plan is not deprivation. One of the letters to the food was, the first one I ever received was written by Karen, and it was quite descriptive of the regurgitation process that people with lap band often go through. And I don't find it uncommon when I'm having a late evening phone call with her sometimes to hear the food leaving her against her own volition every 4 or 5 minutes. And not necessarily painful, but definitely a social issue if you have a vomiting problem because of a surgery. I'm sure it can limit your life. It's a permanent... A lot of these surgeries are permanent ways of physically altering the way we can process food, but it's only in a way that we can really alter the way we think about it. So, Karen, would you like to share part of your story?
Sure.
Hi, I'm Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater, a food addict, and a sugar addict. What?
Higher?
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, my story goes back a long time. I just ate a lot. I just was always eating. There were never any restrictions in the family. My lunch would be, I lived across the street from the elementary school. I'd come home, my mother would give me a big bowl of soup, Campbell's soup, big bowl. They had the knish man on the corner. I'd get a big fat knish and a salami sandwich on a Kaiser roll. That's what a kid was eating, okay? So, whatever. But, you know, my weight never became a big issue. I mean, I was chubby. I was always chubby, you know. And then in my late 20s, I started gaining the weight. And it just got progressively worse. I didn't realize it was such an issue. My sister had been obese. My sister was obese. She was a compulsive overeater. My sister had the gastric bypass, okay. And I just never wanted to be fat like her, you know. And I even said that to her one time, and I'm not a mean person, but you know, but that's what I didn't want. I didn't want to be fat like her because I didn't want to be criticized or made fun of. Like my family was even mean about it, you know. Whatever. So anyway, It was the last 10 years that the eating just became monumental. And at one point, I realized that, like, my meals were just so large, like breakfast, I would have 2.5 breakfast sandwiches, you know, when you go to the bagel store or something, you know? And I realized I'm eating for 2.5 people, and that's how it was going on day after day, and I could not stop it. I just couldn't stop it. I didn't want to stop it. I wasn't willing to stop it. It was filling some void for me, okay? It didn't matter how fat I was getting, how I couldn't move, how I couldn't bend, how I couldn't walk. You know, these things were just mounting more and more, and I started isolating. I had always been, you know, social, and now I was isolating, and I couldn't entertain because it was too much energy to do it. Anyway, so after a long struggle, I decided to go for the lap band. And I thought that was my answer. I was like, you know, first, it really wasn't the answer, but it was like, here I am, I'm a failure. I can't go on a diet, I can't lose the weight, you know, I'll do the lap band. But I was a failure doing the lap band. But it also was the, you know, the solution. So I said, okay, and I just didn't tell anybody that I did the lap band because I thought everyone would say, she could, look, she couldn't do it on her own. You know, she just can't stop eating. Doesn't she have any self-control? And I didn't want anyone looking at how much I was eating after the lap band. Whatever. So nobody knew except my immediate friends and family, which was a handful of people, but nobody knew. So then I felt like a liar because I'm not really a liar, which was another whatever. So anyway, I had the lap band done in January of 2008. So it's only going to be 3 years. I was 250 pounds, and I lost 105 pounds on the lap band. And it was a very hard process because the surgery was nothing. I didn't have any problem, no complications or anything like that. But it's about getting to the right fill with the lap band. They put liquid in, this band that goes around your stomach, and they put liquid in, and either your stomach's too tight and you can't get food down, or it's not enough liquid and you can still get 2 slices of pizza. So, you know, I went through this procedure, and I was eating for 2.5 people. I didn't do this for, you know, to be able to still get 2 slices of pizza down whenever I wanted to. So I went with the too tight route, as Margaret was saying, and it was a very uncomfortable and, a painful way of losing weight. I basically starved. You know, I couldn't get the food down because they tell you beforehand that you have to chew slow and really liquefy your foods to get it down. Now, compulsive eater doesn't do that. She wolfs it down. She, you know, it's gone, and you inhale it, it's gone. So that was my biggest challenge after I got the lap band. Was actually that, was eating slow enough, was cutting up the foods little enough, whatever. So anyway, so I go through the lap band, and I lose 105 pounds, and I was, thrilled with that part. But the food, when I would try to eat, it would come up. It would get stuck, because it wouldn't go down. It would get stuck in my esophagus, and I'd have pain, very bad pain. And it would be pain in my chest, and it would be pain in my back, and pain in my arms, and whatever. And then I would regurgitate it. So you become like a bulimic, actually, with the lap band. And that's what they called it when I was at rehab. It was like lap. Actually, my stomach doctor calls it lap band bulimia. So they know about it. It's common, you know, for people. I just couldn't find the right amount of liquid, or they couldn't get it, you know, in their needle to put in or extract the right amount to make it comfortable for me. So I went with too tight. So I lost my weight, but there's still a problem because, you know, I'm trying to soothe myself now with ice cream because ice cream goes down. And so does cookies and milk, crunchy cookies and milk. Goes down beautiful. That really went down nice. So I would, you know, if I didn't eat that day or whatnot, then I, you know, give myself a little treat. I'd be hungry, you know. And so it started that way. And slowly but surely, I became a sugar addict. I never knew it was really such a thing. I didn't believe it, you know, and I didn't believe it until I actually was consuming sugar morning, noon, and night, and for snacks all day long. I was from ice cream till the morning to the night, and the cookies and everything, and I couldn't stop, you know, and that's where, like, all my compulsive, you know, a lot of it became so prominent for me. But anyway, I had started to gain the weight back, and I was gaining it back, losing it, you know, maintaining it, and I was telling my doctor about it, not the lap band doctor, my medical doctor, and he said, you know, it's an addiction. Go to OA. So I started OA in May of 2009 because I knew something was wrong. You know, I had the lap band, I lost the weight, but it wasn't enough, and I was getting food in me, and if it was sugar, that's what it was. So I started going to OA. And I struggled very much in OA, very much. For a long time, I had some abstinence for, you know, a month. The first month till I got it, it was like 2 months till I got it. It was unbelievable when I got it. And I would call people when I wanted to eat. And that's what I did, you know, and I struggled, but I kept taking my will back over and over and over again. You know, I just wanted the food when I wanted it, and I ate it, you know, and I'd call and they'd say, oh, throw the food out and put the water on the food, because, you know, then I'd go into the garbage to get it, whatever, you know. So I had to destroy it so I couldn't take it out of the garbage. Whatever, but the sugar problem just kept progressing. And it progressed to the point that when, you know, I was like injecting it. Mm. I was injecting it. And my thinking, everything started to get, not that it's great now, and I have troubles with it, being organized and everything, but, like, where was I? Oh, so I was having problems, you know, making appointments, getting where I was supposed to be. You know, I thought work was started at a different time. So things started to get affected because I really wasn't thinking, you know, they say it's the sugar in my brain, okay? So I believe that because I, you know, there was nothing else going on except just these enormous amounts of, massive amounts of sugar coming in. And my sponsor, you know, at the time, God bless her, and, you know, I was seeing a therapist, everybody was just, you know, and everybody had called. They were all so, so wonderful, and I'm so grateful that they were all there for me. But it came up, why don't you go to rehab? And I was like, okay, yeah, I already did the lap band, now I'm a sugar addict, and I got to go to rehab. And okay, but I wasn't getting it. I wasn't able to do it on my own. So I went to rehab. I finally went, and I didn't know there was such a thing. Had I known, maybe, you know, I would have gone sooner. And it's not so bad either. I was in an apartment with four women. Two of them were compulsive overeaters, and two of them were anorexia. And I'm like, oh, I just wish I could restrict like them, you know. But, you know, but it was nice. I was with all these women. We're all preparing our food, whatever. It was nice. Anyone wants to know about it, I'll tell you later. But anyway, so it was there at rehab. I had started to take out liquid in my lap band before I went away because I couldn't get the food down. And it was very frightening to me to take the liquid out because then I'm going to start overeating again, you know. But it didn't matter. I was gaining the weight on the sugar. So I really couldn't win either way I was turning. So I went to take some liquid out. I got a little more food down. I got to rehab. I couldn't get the food down again. You know, I was back to protein drinks. That's what you do when you have the gastric and the lap band. You do a lot of protein drinks. It's like, after a while, it's like it doesn't fill a quarter of your stomach. You're starving with a protein drink. At least I was. So anyway, so I had to have another. They took some liquid out of my lap band when I was in Florida, and finally, and that took a couple of weeks to find a doctor there. And finally, then I started to be able to eat food again. Okay, at that point, I had gained back 35 pounds from my 105. And now I've lost it. So I'm really happy about that, and I'm really happy that I've lost it by actually staying on a food plan with the help of my program, you know, and my sponsors and my fellowship. you know, my higher power, because I couldn't have done it myself. I'm on a, it's, you know, everyone got a food plan, but, you know, for me, it's very challenging. I'm on 3 meals a day and 3 snacks a day. Actually, it was 4 snacks a day. I used to have 2 snacks at night because I stayed up late and I was hungry, and my nutritionist took food away from other meals so I could have 2 snacks at night. So, but now it's down to 1 snack at night. Somewhere along the way, I just became satisfied with the one. And so I've been on this food plan, and I got it from a nutritionist in rehab since February. And since February of last year, is I've taken off the 35 pounds. So I'm really pleased with it, you know, and I'm not hungry. You know, the food's going down now. I'm at a good spot with my lap band. I'm able to eat my food all day long, so I'm not hungry, and I'm satisfied, and I work my program, and that's what helps me.
Tell us what you eat.
Okay, what I eat. Okay, my food plan is in the morning, it's, I have 1.5 ounces of cereal. I have 6 ounces of fruit, and I have 1 ounce of protein, okay? They give a choice on the food plan, actually. That's my choice, okay? That's what I choose to have. The other choice is 1 to 2 ounces of protein and 3 to 6 ounces of fruit. I prefer the cereal, so that's how I do it. I don't like eggs with strawberries. I just couldn't figure it out, how to do a protein and a fruit. It just didn't work for me. So I do 8 ounces of milk. Okay, and it could be regular milk, it could be 2%, it could be 1%. They all have the same amount of sugar. Oh, I'm on a no wheat, flour, and sugar food plan. I can have sugar if it's the 5th ingredient or more in the ingredients on a package. So basically no wheat, flour, and sugar. And then I'll have a snack of 1 ounce of protein and 4 to 6 ounces of fruit, or 1 ounce of protein and 4 to 6 ounces of vegetable. I prefer the fruit because I have 6 ounces of vegetables with every single one of my meals. And I'm not, you know, crazy about salad. I only like salad when I can go to the diner and it was stuffed with everything and I could put all the dressing I wanted on it, okay? Other than that, I'm not crazy about the salad, so I prefer cooked vegetables. So I have 6 ounces with every meal, so I do my fruit for my snacks. It's really, you know, I have a lot of food. For lunch, I get 3 ounces of protein, 3 ounces of carbohydrate, 6 ounces of vegetables, like I said, and 10 to 12 grams of fat. Okay, I get the afternoon snack, which is the snack that I told you about before. Dinner is 4 ounces of protein, 4 ounces of carbohydrate, 6 ounces of vegetable, and again, 12 grams of fat. So you wouldn't, you'd be so, I'm very happy that when I cut up, if I make chicken or whatever I make, if it's chicken, beef, steak, whatever, 4 ounces is a lot of protein. It's a lot of protein. It's enough to fill me up with the 6 ounces of the vegetables and the 4 ounces of a carbohydrate. It's actually enough. It's like a plate you wouldn't believe. So thank God for that. My snack in the evening is 2 ounces of protein, again fruit, 4 to 6 ounces of fruit, and 1.5 ounces of cereal. So let me just say a couple of things about this. Okay, so for protein, on my food plan, like 1 ounce of protein equals, this is in my plan, 4 ounces of cottage cheese. Okay, low-fat cottage cheese, 8 ounces of yogurt, 2 ounces of ricotta, 1 large egg, okay, and 1 ounce of fish, chicken, beef, pork, whatever it is. So you get a nice amount of food. And then if you would eat other fish, like certain fish like cod, shrimp, scallops, tilapia, orange roughy, red snapper, you get 1.5. So for lunch, if it's I'm allowed 3 ounces of food, if it's that particular fish, I can get 4.5 ounces. So depending on what I eat, it's a lot of food, and I like it. Also for my fats, okay, I use a lot of mayonnaise, I use sour cream, and I use butter and nuts. Okay, I use the light butter. I can't believe it's not. I can't believe it's not butter. And you'd be surprised how much you can get with that. So on that note, I gotta wrap it up. If anyone's got any questions about the food plan, I'd be more than happy to help you. Thank you.
How many of you are not familiar with what step-ups are? Okay. Stepping up in OA means stepping up to sponsorship. Here in Edison, it's somebody who's got a minimum of 30 days of abstinence with food and completion of the first three steps. Karen and I have been working together since the third week in October. And it's my pleasure to be stepping her up to sponsorship this evening. Did you hear on that food plan how the food gets heavier as the evening goes along? I think she influenced that nutritionist. It looks like the grand meal by the end of the day. We're trying to push it back and spread it evenly during the day. So I think Roseanne's promise is how we do this. Would you like to say the prayer with me?
Yes.
It's right here. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for a power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. It's been a real challenge. Now, if I were the type of sponsor who said, I can only sponsor you if you eat the same food plan as I, where would this woman find a sponsor? Wouldn't work, would it? So I am throwing your butterfly pin at you, which is a symbol of recovery in the rooms. We have used it for many years in OA. I often wear mine to bed at night on my underwear. I usually have a butterfly on me somewhere. It reminds me of the metamorphosis that we go through, not just physically, but spiritually in program. So Karen is now eligible for sponsoring newcomers to this program. She's got a lot to offer besides a very convoluted food plan.
But a lot of food! A lot of food! Thank you.
Our next speaker is also, like Pete, is pretty new in program. Mary Jane, would you like to come over here and talk? Okay. Yeah, do you have that with you?
I didn't write anything, I just was going to...
Mary Jane also did a nice writing, managed to stay abstinent through the holidays. She's not one of the people in January who's starting over again, and I think that's wonderful for someone who's new in recovery, and I thought maybe you'd like to share some of that with us tonight.
Okay. Hi. Hi, I'm Mary Jane. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
I started in the program actually about maybe 5 or 6 years ago did we come? I mostly came because my husband dragged me with him. He offered for me to come along, told me about the program. And I maybe stayed a couple of months, but never really got a sponsor, didn't start a plan. And chaos kind of ensued in our lives, and it dragged me away. And some of that chaos had cleared up, and some things happened in my life that brought me back. And I'm really glad that I'm back. I started back in the program in May. I needed to really find out what it was about to really feel like I could commit myself before I started being abstinent. And I called and got a sponsor. And started the same day I got a sponsor, I started being abstinent. And that was July 31st of last year. And during that time, I realized I needed to know everything there was about the program in order to be abstinent, in order to do the program the right way. So not only did I get a sponsor, start my food plan, but I also started working the steps right away. And my first sponsor is actually sitting in the back of the room. And part of the way through, he was very helpful, knew the plan, knew the program, and I really wanted someone who knew it to help me guide me through. But I also knew that I had to learn my own way of discovering what the program was about. And through that, it wasn't just about food. It was about everything that kind of goes along with it. It was the emotional aspect and the spiritual aspect that I really needed to get a handle on to be able to stay abstinent and really understand what this program was all about. And really, I went to a lot of meetings, and I don't share that much at the meeting here, but I shared at other meetings that I go to. And this is actually the first time I'm standing speaking at a meeting. So bear with me, because I'm doing this off the top of my head. I'm standing here wearing my dad's jet shirt. It's not mine. I'm wearing it because they won, but I'm really wearing it because it's his. I lost my dad in November. And without this program, without the support I got from my sponsor and from coming to these meetings and really understanding and working the spiritual and emotional part of this program, I wouldn't be standing here telling you about a food plan or any other thing about being abstinent, because having that connection with God and understanding how food isn't the answer when things are going wrong, and food isn't the thing that's going to be there to comfort me when things are going bad, enabled me to really be there for my dad while he was sick, and is enabling me to be able to actually speak about this right now. And of course that happened just before the holidays. And so getting through the holidays was actually even more difficult than just staying abstinent and staying on a food plan. It was difficult because it was challenging emotionally and spiritually for me. And being able to talk to a sponsor and being able to share at meetings and listen to people sharing, having people to call on the phone, knowing there were people out there that supported me and really cared and were there to listen, really helped. So I don't know that I could read this, so I'm going to ask Margaret to do it for me.
Sure.
But she gave me an assignment. And by the way, Margaret is my current sponsor. She gave me an assignment to write a letter to the food, and this is what I wrote.
Dear food, I no longer want to live my life based on you, getting caught up in the battles you create for me. I'm going to live my life based on my spiritual upbringing and turn to my higher power for strength and guidance. I'm going to focus my energy toward the people and things that matter most to me, and that won't be you anymore. I no longer will be seeking out your comfort when I'm unhappy. I have a supportive program and a higher power that love me and will help me. Your seemingly momentary comfort has brought me misery that includes physical and emotional pain. I also believe you played a huge part in my father's death, and I hate you for it. Although you alone did not cause it, knowing that you played such a big part has changed my view of you. I will not allow you to do the same to me. I know that I need you to survive and live my life, but I don't need you to run my life. From now on, I will be eating to live, not living to eat. Sincerely, MJ from Old Bridge. Thank you. And lastly, I thought we would address the topic of maintenance. Maintenance is when you reach an agreed upon weight between your sponsor, your doctor, a healthy weight. And Sarita will be our speaker on that tonight.
How much time do I have?
2 minutes. Let's see, how much of that?
I don't know, 7 minutes. I'm going to walk around with this thing.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sarita, compulsive overeater.
I don't want to be behind a podium. Before OA, I ate. I ate to the point where I would be sick. I ate to the point where I was fully stuffed, and then I'd wait about a good 20, 30 minutes, and then go eat again. Some of my other food behaviors were watching absorbent amount of television, 15, 18 hours a day, and then stuffing my face while I was doing it, and not realizing that, oh God, there's a whole bag of chips that's gone. The entire box of cookies is gone. And eating stale food, rotten food, kind of sort of moldy, you pick it off, it's okay. I'm a fat addict. It was mentioned before about a little grease dripping down your chin. Oh, honey, I'm licking that wrapper. I'm licking up the grease drippings in the pan. That's me. Reading while I eat. I'm having breakfast. I'm reading the comics. I don't read the newspaper because it's too depressing for me, but I will read the comics and Dear Abby and the horoscopes and everything like that and be stuffing my face, and the next thing I know, my breakfast is gone. Now, these are some of the behaviors that I've had to stop. If I want to be healthy, I have to do healthy things. There are actual studies about reading or watching television or watching movies or whatever while eating. The body cannot do two things at the same time. That's why, hand to mouth, I'm eating, but I'm watching TV. The stomach does not realize that it's coming down there. And that's why I'm able to eat all that food, right, and stuff myself. So over the years, I've had to slowly stop those behaviors. I came into program, at my heaviest weight, I was 220 pounds, I think. I might have been heavier, I don't know. When I came into program back in November of 06, I was 200 pounds. I had lost a little bit, but then gained it and lost it and blah, blah, blah. About 3 months later, I found my sponsor. The first time I came to this meeting, it was February 11th, and I met this one over here. Asked her to be my sponsor. Felt like I was asking her out on a date. You know, I had the butterflies in my stomach. That's what it feels like asking a sponsor because, you know, fear of rejection. I didn't want to be rejected. She took me, and she puts up with me. And within about a year, a little over a year of being in program, I came down to my goal weight, which is 135 pounds. One of the assignments that my sponsor gave me was to find out, well, what should I be eating, or what should I weigh at my height? I'm between about 5'5 and 5'6, and the weight charts were anywhere between 120 and 150 pounds. I figure I'd split the difference, and 135 is a good goal weight. So in December of 07, I came down to a little under 135. It was funny, it was 132.5, and as soon as I saw that, there was a voice in my head that said, that's too low. I'm an addict. If some is good, more is better. If 135 pounds is good, then 132 pounds is better. 130 pounds is better. 120 pounds is awesome. Could you imagine me another 15 pounds thinner? I would be a bag of bones. But my disease would love that, right? So that's where I was, 135 pounds. And so for the last three-ish years, I've been maintaining that weight. I weigh myself only once a month. On the 12th of the month, that's my abstinence date. And we go from there. For the most part, there's only been one time where I've been over 140 pounds, which is my cutoff point. If I'm under 130 pounds or 140 pounds, we leave my food alone. If I get over 140 pounds, then we got to tweak something. We got to do a little something with it. We got to look back, what have I been eating? Maybe a little too much of this, a little too much of that. But fortunately, in the last 3 years, I've only been up above the 140 once, and that was because we had put too much food in my food plan. As soon as we brought it back down, the weight came back down. what do I eat? The food plan that I'm on is a modified Kay Shepherd food plan. It's no sugar, no wheat, no flour. I say modified because there are a lot of foods that she eliminates, or that food plan eliminates, like the high sugar fruits like bananas, grapes, cherries, mangoes, all that kind of stuff. I still eat them. I figure God made them. That's all right by me. If it's good for God, it's good for me. There's a lot of proteins, nuts. I eat nuts. This food plan says no nuts. I eat them anyway. God made them. A couple other things like the ham and bacon and some of those processed meats, I'll still eat them in moderation, but I still eat them. So I say modified because it's not completely pure. If I tried to do this perfectly, if I tried to do this purely, I would have been gone a long time ago because I'm a perfectionist. If I can't do it all, I won't do it at all. My breakfast, I'm going to show you my food plan. I'm going to show you my journals. This is my current journal, okay? It has a little thingy on here, keeps it together. There's a pencil inside, okay? I have copies of my old food plan. I write out, you'll see here in pen, things like the date, abstinent however many days. On this date, it was January 23rd of 10, it was 1,075 days. I just keep adding a day, adding a day, adding a day. You see breakfast, lunch, bedtime, and exercise. I commit my exercise. On the back of the page, I'll have for God. They might have little notes. There might be changes in my food plan under here. I have phone calls or perhaps a phone meeting that I've done. I have erased last names because I usually write in the last names. I do make 3 phone calls every single day. In the nearly 4 years that I have been here, there's only been about 2 weeks where I didn't make phone calls. At least 3 phone calls, I'm going to say. There are most days I'll do about 5 or 6. And I am so fortunate that because I make so many phone calls, I get to talk to so many people. If I've met you, I've probably called you, more than likely. And more than likely, I've talked to you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass around these things. Just take one. Great. Oh, I thought I had more. Anyway. Yeah, pass it over here. So just take a peek at it. Take a look at it. I write on there my weight. I write on there if I have to make a change in my food plan, I tell my sponsor. If it's something along the lines of, like what was mentioned before, if I ran out of green beans or if my brother ate my brown rice, then I substitute it with like, okay, I ran out of carrots, I don't get to eat carrot cake. It's not the same thing. Today, for example, I thought that I was going to have one type of meal. A bunch of us went out to dinner to the diner before here. I thought I was going to have 2 eggs over easy, hash browns, salad, and some onions and peppers with the soup. I wanted that because it was quick. I thought it was going to be a long time. We got here so super early, I said, well, I'm going to have my broiled salmon. So I had broiled salmon, I had baked potato with butter, I had a salad with vinegar, I had the mixed vegetables, and then I had the French onion soup. And at least 8 ounces of water with my supplements. I drink a lot of water. That's why you always see me run into the bathroom. I ask my doctor about it, and I say I can easily drink between my coffee, my water, my tea, broth, and the vegetables that I drink, that I eat. I probably have anywhere from about 100 to 150 ounces of fluid every day. So he says, you pee a lot because you drink a lot. Okay, good. Now, what else do I eat? I'm going to show you. I have my, this is my cooler. I even have a little rainbow pin on there. My coworker gave me 1 million years ago. Okay. This is my, I've got to put this down. Sorry. I've got to throw everything around. All right. Here we go. This container holds my breakfast. This container is pretty much full every single day. Today I had 8 ounces of soy milk, 8 ounces of tofu, 6 ounces of apricots, 2 ounces of dry oatmeal, and that's all in here. And then I put a little bit more water in there because I like a little bit more watery. That's my breakfast. My lunch and dinner. All right, this container, each container, I'm going to say is about 3/4 or more of the way full. So here's lunch, dinner. We got breakfast over here. This is actually my MA for tonight. This is a cup of yogurt and 6 ounces of mixed berries, I believe. Plus, I fill this thermos with coffee. It is 20 ounces of coffee when that's full. My other thermos, right over here, I put in another 10 ounces of coffee in here. I have, gently, I will put them down. This is a water bottle. I have about 3 of these every day. This is the amount of food that I have. I also, just to be on the safe side, because I like to plan, and failing to plan means planning to fail, I have an emergency abstinence kit that I keep in my car.
And who taught you everything you know?
Yeah. I also do like to go camping and things like that, so a lot of the stuff that I have here is built for camping. I have an MRE. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I have an MRE. It's probably expired. Boxes of milk. Little things of applesauce. Pop top of soup. Green beans. Pop top black beans here. There should be some protein in here somewhere. Oh, it's at the bottom. Here we go. Little packages of peanut butter. I told you I'm sugar-free. These do have some sugar on it. But how often do I eat this? Very extremely rarely, once, twice a year, if that, if for no other reason than to get rid of it because it's getting expired. But cans of tuna in here, cans of fruit. I have somewhere in here, there's a little can opener. I have in here, I have my cup. I also have somewhere in here, powdered milk, oatmeal. I got some measuring spoons in there. I bring it with me. I don't care where I go. I have my this is my security blanket. I've got God and my emergency abstinence kit. What more do I need, right? Essentially, these things work for me. It's taken me 4 years to get to this point, and it's constantly changing and constantly evolving. One of the things that I've learned, and people have told me in program, is maintenance harder than weight loss. I find it the same. It's not easier. It's not harder. It is. It just is. I do the same thing now, on the same food plan now than I was when I was losing the weight. So if we have any questions, I would be glad to go ahead.
First of all, I'm taken back. I'm so encouraged.
I gotta put this back in.
Like your emergency one, do you keep that in the car all the time?
Yes. I just pull that from my trunk.
Okay, so that's with you all the time.
Yes.
Then you don't have to put water. You have bottles in the bottle of water.
No, if for no other, like now it would just freeze. Although there are packets of water that you could buy at like survival things and whatnot where it's specially packaged so that it does not freeze. I'm seriously considering getting those, but that's a little overkill.
Does anyone else have any questions?
Yeah. Thank you. Matt.
What do you like doing now that you're able to do now that you're an abstinent? What do you like to
do? What do I like to do now that I now that I'm abstinent? In the past year, I've gone paintballing twice. I've also done a canopy tour of you get yourself in a harness. You're about 30 feet in the air in trees. You go down zip lines and you're doing an obstacle course. I've done socializing and things like that. So sometimes my food can be a little boring, I will admit that. Oatmeal for breakfast every day, sometimes it's like, but you know what? I can fit in a theater seat. Yeah. Okay. I can sit in a theater seat now, and that's exciting. That's thrilling. Spanx, baby. I love it.
For all the three speakers, we had Karen and we had Mary Jane and Sarita. So anyway, I'd like to ask the panel, maybe we're not all American born, but we all come from families with traditional foods. How do you work in Italian foods, Hispanic foods, Jewish foods, the things that you were raised with that you enjoy in your meal plans?
How do we handle traditional
ethnic foods?
Well, I could say,
for myself, this past Hanukkah, I did not eat the potato latkes and the applesauce, you know, because I probably could have had one, you know, but I didn't. I said, you know what, I probably have never had just one, so I just, you know, there's certain foods that I just abstain from, and I just don't do it. And my family, you know, they understand. I bring my scale with me to all the holidays that I go, you know, to my in-laws and whatever. I bring my scale. I bring my rice if I need, my carbohydrates, my fats. I bring what I need with me. And I just don't do it unless, you know, I call in advance and I find out what exactly fits into my food plan, and I base it on that.
I've learned how to make substitutes. I've made stuffing, and instead of bread, I've used cooked spelt. I'm Polish, and I've made the world's thinned down version of potato soup. Instead of a pound of bacon, I use two strips. Instead of 5 pounds of potatoes, it's maybe 2 pounds and a lot of chicken broth. So it's thinned out, healthier versions of a lot of family type recipes. And after a while, other people kind of get used to it or give up and eat it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do we handle measuring cups of vegetables as opposed to weighing vegetables?
Personally, if it was up to me, I would weigh every single thing on the planet because I can shove some broccoli in a cup. I will get an entire head of lettuce in a cup come hell or high water. But 6 ounces or 3 ounces or whatever on a scale, it doesn't matter if it's Monday, Friday, my birthday, Christmas, or Groundhog Day. It's still 6 ounces or whatever. So personally, I would prefer to weigh it, but you know what? I do the best I can. And sometimes my prayer is, I pray before I eat, I read my food before I eat, but sometimes my prayer is, God, please just let it be enough. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, just let it be enough.
Mm-hmm.
We got some. Okay.
Serena, I have a question for you. Where did you get your containers for your
birthday? Where did I get my containers? Well, those are my daily containers. They're, I think I got them.
Containers are hard to find.
Yeah, good size. Now you can get them in most of the major chains like Target, Walmart, all those kind of things. I believe the coolers themselves were Target. I'm due for another one pretty soon. They get worn down. How do I manage to prepare the food every day? I do get up at 5 in the morning, between 5 and 6, sometimes 6:15. But you know what? It's because it's repetition, it maybe takes me about half hour, 45 minutes to make all my food. And a lot of times, I'm making food that will be left over for the next day, rice or chicken or whatever. So it's just a matter of scoop and go, throw in some, weigh some chicken and go. Yeah, but it's I started to learn shortcuts, and I think about this much frozen vegetables will equal this much cup vegetables. So you see, I just got used to it, like any habit. I got used to eating mass quantities of food. I got used to preparing healthy food.
Yeah, I wanted to add in that I struggled a lot with that because I have a lot of food on my food plan. Thank God, but it's very challenging to prepare and have all the food with you. And I take my food with me also. I mean, at this point, I'm trying very hard to cook and prepare in advance, weigh and measure, and put it in the freezer. So then I have it to just take it out for the next day or whatever. I'm really trying to do that because like I have a lot of snacks and food during the day, but that's what makes me get through the day. That's what, you know, helps me to be abstinent. So I'm trying the best I can to organize myself that way.
Thank you all for coming this evening. At our Unity Day Mass on the end of February, we're going to have an abbreviated version of this workshop. It's going to be presented with different speakers. So if you didn't hear enough about food, you'll have another opportunity to hear about food again at the end of February. Any suggestions for future workshops, please feel free to contact any one of us. And I guess my final thought would be thank God for pop-top cans today. Would all those who care to join me in the Serenity Prayer please stand and join hands? Thank you for your generous Seventh Tradition collection tonight. It will enable us to present more of these evenings. Scott, who is our new program chair for the year 2011, would you like to close it for us?
Moment of silence for those suffering from the addiction of overeating. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Keep coming back, it works when you work it. One day at a time, so work it, you're worth it. Give a lot of love and don't pick up.